Well, hey everyone, my name's Bevan. I'm the campus pastor at our Du Bois campus, and I'm so excited because I get to share part two of our series, Once Upon a Time. In this series, we're taking a look at the parables of Jesus, learning from the lessons of the stories that he taught. And so last week, we started with part one where Kim shared an amazing message about the Good Samaritan, that it wasn't enough to know that we need to love God and love people, but we had to go and do. And so this week, we're going to be looking at a parable called the Ungrateful Servant. And before you say anything, I know you're going to think, where's the lesson in that? That one is not going to be as fun as the Good Samaritan. Well, I can promise you, like all the stories that Jesus told, there's a lesson in this as well. But before we get there, I just want you to imagine something. Imagine you're in the drive-thru line, it's lunchtime, you're hungry, you're at your favorite spot, and you're getting ready to receive your meal. Maybe it's a Big Mac. Maybe it's a Frosty from Wendy's. For my wife, it's always a Frosty. And for me, it's a chicken sandwich from Wendy's. It's something I get every time that I'm there. So imagine you have that perfect meal picked out at the perfect spot, and you're just waiting. So as you pull up to the drive-thru, you're getting ready to pull your cash out or pull your card out, and when you get there, the person working says, the car in front of you paid for you. Now, isn't that awesome? Doesn't that feel good? Not only did you get your favorite meal, but it's paid for. It makes you feel like you want to do something with that joy. Maybe you want to pay for the person in line behind you. Which got me thinking, I know we've all heard of these pay it forward lines and drive-thrus. So I wanted to know, what's the longest drive-thru pay it forward that's ever existed? So I was researching, I don't know if it's the longest, but this one's pretty incredible because at a Starbucks in 2014, there was an 11-hour pay it forward line. 11 hours of people paying for the person behind them in line. And it was estimated that anywhere between 300 and 700 people paid for the car behind them. Whatever the number, the bottom line is that hundreds of people did something kind for someone they didn't even know. You see, it feels good whenever people are kind to us. It feels good when unexpected kindness happens to us. It can take a good day and make it a great day. It can take a bad day and it can make it a good day. Well, unfortunately, the same can be said about when something unexpectedly unkind happens to us. When someone cuts you off in traffic. Or how about if a coworker says something rude under their breath during the day? Or maybe it's your kids talking back to you. Well, I don't have any kids, but I am a kid. And you can ask my mom, it's never pleasant when I talked back. You see, unexpected unkindness can take a great day and make it just okay. It can take a bad day and make it worse. Well, I'm sure you've all heard about the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. In an ideal world, in a perfect world, everybody would treat everyone else with kindness because that's what we all want. You see, unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a broken world. And that's why we need Jesus and we need his teachings, because when we read these teachings, when we learn these lessons, that's when we learn how to live a better life. So that's where we're going to start, is in Jesus' teachings. There's a book called the Book of Matthew. And before we talk about the Book of Matthew, let's talk about Matthew the man. You see, Matthew was a follower of Jesus. He was one of Jesus' disciples, one of his close friends. And before he followed Jesus, Matthew was a tax collector. And in this day and age, tax collectors were not sought after people. They were people that weren't well liked. So Matthew would have been used to people being pretty unkind to him. Well, over his lifetime, he gets to walk with Jesus and be with Jesus, and he learns so many things. And he writes this book called the Gospel of Matthew. You see, the Gospel of Matthew is part of four Gospels in our New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they all tell the story of Jesus' life, of his ministry, the miracles that he did, his teachings. They tell the story of his death on a cross and his resurrection from the dead, and they also tell the story of his followers, starting what we now call the church. So that's where we find our story today, in the Book of Matthew. So we're going to start. Here's how Jesus starts the story. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. So I think we can all relate to this. There's been times in our life where we owed someone money, and there's been times where others have owed us. And in both cases, we're hoping that the accounts are up to date. If someone owes me money, I hope they pay me back as quickly as possible. And if I owe someone money, I want to get them their money as fast as I can. Well, what happens is he finds out that there was a servant that couldn't pay. He brings him in and he finds out this guy owes him millions of dollars. Now, millions of dollars is a big debt. We understand that. Maybe we don't individually owe millions of dollars, but thousands of dollars, that's a little more relatable. We have mortgages, we have car loans, we have school loans, maybe we have credit card debt. So owing someone thousands of dollars would be relatable. So I just want you to put yourself in this person's shoes. Well, the story goes on. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay this debt. Can you imagine? Everything you worked hard for, everything that you worked for your whole entire life being gone, being stripped away because of a debt that you owed. And not only does it affect you, but now it affects your family. Now it affects your wife and your kids. So this millions of dollars. This millions of dollars can also be translated as 10,000 talents. And I know that talents is not a currency that we commonly use in our language. So it's also equivalent to 375 tons of silver. So 375 tons of silver, that's a large debt. Can you imagine the size, the scale, and the scope of what it would look like to be in front of 375 tons of silver? Imagine what this man's feeling as the reality of his debt is weighing on him. Well, this is what he does. He falls down and he begs his master and he says, please be patient with me. Be patient with me and I will pay it all. But who's patient these days? You see, we live in a world where fast food isn't even fast enough. If we wait longer than 10 minutes in a drive-thru, it's bad service. It's too slow. What about prime shipping? 2 days? That's not fast enough. We want 2 hours. You see, we want what we want, and we want it now. We live in a world of instant gratification where we can have what we want at the click of a button. And how much more impatient can we be when it comes to money? How impatient can this man be who is owed millions of dollars? What's he going to do? Well, the story picks up right here. He said, then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. Millions of dollars forgiven. You see, this word pity in another translation is the word compassion. And this word compassion, it just feels a little bit different than pity. You see, pity is when you feel bad for someone in their circumstances. Compassion causes you to do something about it. It causes you to act. It causes you to step in to their circumstances. And it's because of this compassion that his master chose forgiveness. And you see, this word forgiveness comes from the Greek word aphiemi, which means to let go, to forgive a debt, or to remit or cancel. You see, remit's not a word that we use commonly today either, but cancel is. Cancel, we understand. Cancel, we get. You see, his debt was completely canceled, wiped clean, forgotten, and forgiven. So how do you think the servant is going to respond? How would you respond if your bank called and said, hey, I just want to let you know, your mortgage, canceled. You don't need to pay it anymore. Or what about if your school loan provider called you and said, hey, all that money that you took out to go to school, to get an education, to get a job, that you've been paying back for months, maybe even years, it's canceled. You don't have to worry about it anymore. So how do you think this man responded after being forgiven a debt of millions of dollars? Did he fall to his knees and cry tears of joy, thanking his master? Or did he run home to his wife and his family and let them know the good news? We're no longer in debt. Our debt's been forgiven. Well, here's how he does respond. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. See, I think we can all agree that his reaction was the complete opposite of the reaction that he had just experienced. In this few thousand dollars, it's obviously less than a million, but what does that mean? This few thousand dollars is 100 denarii, which can also be the equivalent of a full day's wage. So one day's wage, this guy had to work one more day, or he had to work one day without receiving payment, and his debt would have been paid. And his master was threatening him, was treating him with cruelty. So to put this into perspective, if you work today in Pennsylvania making minimum wage, before taxes, you'd bring in $58. So $58, millions of dollars. Well, let's take it one step further. If you work for 1 week in Pennsylvania making minimum wage, that's $290. But still, $290, millions of dollars. Or what about 1 month? If you worked for 1 month, that'd be $1,200. What about 1 year? If this guy worked 1 year, if you're in Pennsylvania making minimum wage, $15,000. That's it. $15,000 compared to millions of dollars. So what does this servant do when faced with the debt that he owes? We fell down and he begs his master for a little more time and he says, be patient with me and I will pay it. Be patient with me. Those words sound familiar, don't they? See, the words that were just spoken by this man are now being spoken to him. The same words, the same plea, the same cry. So he has a choice to make. Will he be like his master? Will he be compassionate? Will he forgive? Well, this is what he does. He couldn't wait, and so he had the man arrested, put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. You see, there were some other servants that had watched this, some other people that had seen what had happened. They'd seen this interaction, and they were upset. They were angry, and so they went to the king. And the king is the man who had just forgiven the first servant his debt of millions of dollars. They let him know what happened. They said, the man that you just forgave, he went to one of his servants that owed him significantly less. And he demanded payment, and when the guy couldn't pay, he threw him into prison. He threw him in jail. So the king is furious. He's angry. He just forgave this man, only to see that the gratefulness didn't last. And so he says this to his servant. You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I have had mercy on you? Well, then the king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. I know what you're thinking. This story is pretty much exactly how it sounds. You might be wondering, where's the lesson in this story? Well, Jesus had one more thing to say. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Now, let me be clear. It's easy to look at the ungrateful servant and judge him. It's easy for us to put ourselves in his shoes and say that we would never do what he did. It's easy for us to go, I can't believe he could do something so cruel after receiving forgiveness. It's easy for us to say that. But if we're honest with ourselves, we've all been the ungrateful servant. We've all chosen not to forgive. We've all chosen not to respond with kindness when we received kindness. And so when Jesus says this final statement, when he says, this is what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to give your brothers and sisters forgiveness from your heart, he's talking about two different yous. You see, the first you is who he's speaking to in the moment. This is Peter, one of his other disciples. You see, Peter, right before Jesus had shared this parable, had asked him a question. He asked Jesus, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister when they sin against me? And Peter, he gives him a number. He probably thinks it's a generous number. And he says, 7 times? Well, Jesus comes back and says, 70 times 7. 70 times 7 is the number of times that you must forgive your brother or sister when they sin against you. So he's speaking to Peter, but the power in Jesus' parables is that he's also speaking to us. You see, he's speaking to Peter in the moment, and he's speaking to us in every moment. And the bottom line, if you don't get anything else from this story, it's this right here, this image of a heart, because this story is not about money. It's not about the millions of dollars that we're owed. It's not about the thousands of dollars that we're owed. It's just not about money. In this story, it's not about what's right or what's fair. This story is about our hearts. This story tells us where our hearts are at. And it's from hearts that are grateful that we can offer forgiveness. And here's what I know about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not about fairness. As much as we would like it to be, as much as we wish it could be, forgiveness is not always fair. You see, because forgiveness didn't get the master's debt paid. Now let me be clear. I care about forgiveness. And I care about fairness. I care that things are fair. Growing up as a kid, I had three other siblings. And there'd be days where I did something and I would get in trouble. And then my siblings would do the same thing with no punishment. So believe me, I've been there when I've said life's not fair. Well, the opposite could also be true because there were times when I did something without punishment and one of my siblings, they were punished for what they did. So forgiveness is not about fairness. And if you want to talk about forgiveness not being fair, let's talk about Jesus, the man telling this story, the only person who ever lived a perfect and sinless life. And this man died on a cross for my sins, for your sins, and for all sins. Is that fair? It's not. See, forgiveness is not fair. And because Jesus gave everything, Jesus gave it all. He sacrificed his own life and he paid for all sins. Because Jesus gave everything, we should be willing to forgive others. Which leads me to this question. Who are you unwilling to forgive? Now let me be clear. I know that forgiveness is not easy. I know that it's messy. I know that it's complex. I know it's so easy for us to say, just forgive that person. It's easy for me to tell someone else, you should just forgive them. It's a lot harder to actually live it out. And forgiveness, it takes sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed his life so that we could receive forgiveness if we choose to believe in him. The master chose to sacrifice a huge debt that was owed to him so that his servant could be free. And forgiveness is not even possible without Jesus. It just can't happen because it stems from where our heart is. So when I was in college, I went to a school my freshman year, a small school in Western Pennsylvania. At the end of the year, I decided, you know what? I just don't really love this school. I don't feel like I fit here. I'm going to transfer to another school. So I transferred. I was there for 1 year for my sophomore year. And at the end of that school year, I said the same thing. I said, you know what? I'm just not sure that I fit here either. So I transferred to another school. So three schools. In this last school, I fell in love with. I loved the people. I loved the friends I made. I loved the university. It was a great experience. But what had happened is every time I left one school for the next, I left people behind. And not only did I leave people behind, I didn't let them know that I was leaving. I didn't let them know that I was transferring. And so here I am bouncing from school to school, leaving people broken, leaving people in pain, leaving people without an explanation. See, it was a cowardly thing that I did. And I was just scared of the tension. I was scared of the hard goodbye. And so a few years later, after I graduate college, I'm listening to a message all about forgiveness. And it was one of those messages that I was listening to, and I was like, wow, this person just knows my life. This person just knows everything that I'm going through. They're speaking right to me. And in that moment, I felt like I needed to reach out and ask for forgiveness for all the people that I hurt, for all the people that I left behind. And it was one of those moments where I said, are you sure, God? Are you sure you want me to do that? Because I've asked you for forgiveness, and I know that you love me, and I know that you forgive me, so do I really need their forgiveness? Will I be okay without it? Well, ultimately, I knew that I had to do this. So I reached out. I reached out to multiple people, and I just told them, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I was a coward. I'm sorry that I didn't let you know. I'm sorry that I left you without an explanation. I'm sorry that I hurt you, and I'm sorry if I caused you any pain. I'm just asking if you can find it in your heart to forgive me. And here's what I know about forgiveness. It only takes one person. It only takes one. You see, I had one friend who I reached out to, I apologized to, and I was waiting for the response, and he said, I forgive you. And I can't tell you how good I felt in this moment. The freedom that I felt when I knew that he forgave me, that we could move on and be friends, that we could get over this, that we could get past this, until I got this, the dots. We've all seen the dots. We've all sent a message and we're waiting for the response. We're waiting for what's next. Maybe we're even fearing what's next because I didn't know what this meant. I didn't know if this meant I forgive you, but I don't want you in my life anymore. I forgive you, but I don't want to talk to you anymore. I forgive you, but I don't really forgive you. See, my story is a lucky one because this is the response I got next. My friend said, I want you to come to my wedding in 2 weeks. It would mean a lot if you were there. See, this is what forgiveness feels like. This is what it feels like to be forgiven. So do you need forgiveness? Now let me be clear, we all need forgiveness. We all fall short, we live in a broken world, we're all in need of forgiveness. And you know what? Forgiveness brings healing, and we need healing too. Forgiveness heals the person who was hurt, the person who's brokenhearted, but it also heals the person who has hurt someone else, is feeling ashamed for their actions. Forgiveness heals the giver, and it heals the receiver. And if you need forgiveness, are you willing to ask for it? Are you willing to be bold? Are you willing to step into the tension? Are you willing to be courageous and own up to what you've done to hurt someone else? Are you willing to ask? And even more important is this question. Are you going to accept it? Because it's not enough to know you need forgiveness. It's not enough to ask for forgiveness. Because if you don't accept forgiveness from someone else, then you don't receive healing. You don't experience freedom. So are you going to accept forgiveness? Are you going to embrace it? Are you going to believe in it? Are you going to believe that God forgives you, that God loves you, and that others can do the same, that they can forgive you too? So this leads me to a challenge. I want to challenge all of you. And so there's two challenges here. And I'm pretty confident that at least one of these challenges is going to be applicable to your life. Maybe both of them. So you're either going to have two or you're going to have one. So the first challenge is to reach out and ask. If you're like me, if your story's like mine and you need forgiveness from other people, you need to reach out and ask. And that can look a bunch of different ways. You can ask somebody to go out for coffee. You can send them a letter in the mail. You can give them a phone call or even FaceTime them. But you need to reach out and ask, even when it's scary, even when there's tension, and even if there's a possibility that you could get hurt, that you could get rejected. Because you won't receive the healing that you need unless you ask. And the next challenge is this. If you're a person who needs to give forgiveness, reach out and give. And let me be clear, I know that this is not easy. I know that it's so much easier to just say, I'm gonna forgive this person. So before you reach out, before you forgive, talk to God, pray about it. Tell him where you're at. Tell him what you're feeling. Talk to a trusted friend or a family member, someone you can process with, someone you trust. Or talk to a therapist, but talk to someone. And when you're ready, reach out and forgive. You see, forgiveness is a lot like paying it forward in a drive-thru. Because Jesus gave us everything, we should be filled with compassion for others and willing to forgive. And when we receive forgiveness, we should be looking for the next person in line. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for the teachings, for the lessons that can be seen in the parables that Jesus taught. I want to thank you that even 2,000 years ago, these are still so relevant to our lives today, and that we can take these lessons and live them out. And God, I pray that you would be with all who need forgiveness and all who need to forgive. That you would remind them that forgiveness is possible and healing is possible when we choose to reach out and ask and reach out and give. And God, I pray that you be with all of us as we walk this journey of life through the tension, through the discomfort, and that you would lead us to a place where your light and your life shines through. We give all this to you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.